When most of us think about the quality of Christians sitting next to us on Sundays, when we think about the personality traits or values of those who make up this community for the world at St. David's, or of Christians out there in the world, we use terms like, she's a joyful Christian. She's a joyful Christian who has a deep peace about her. She knows she's forgiven and has been freed from the power of sin and death. She has some kind of living relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and a gladness and happiness just exude from her. Then there's the serious Christian, who is so sincere about God and the Christian life, but they seem preoccupied with their sinfulness, or most likely the sinfulness of other Christians. And though they're genuine about their life in God and in the community, you may not want to spend a lot of time with them or hold them up as the poster child for Christianity. Maybe it would be better to be a committed Christian, supporting Christ's mission in the world, committed to God and supporting the mission and ministry of their church, not quite joyful all the time, certainly not a serious Christian, but making the effort and touched by the grace and love and goodness of God in a very faithful way. And of course, there's a loving Christian, called to love God and love their neighbor, that Christian person who is quick to forgive and to see the best in everyone around them, who loves the unlovable and the lovable alike in church and in the community. And it's someone you and I would like to spend a lot of time with and introduce to other people. There are many other qualities and traits that we could apply to being a Christian, but today I want to introduce you to a particular and slightly peculiar quality of the Christian life that Jesus introduces to us in the parable this morning. And that is the shrewd Christian. There's laughter back there. Now, for many of us, the idea of being a shrewd Christian is an oxymoron. Two terms that don't seem to fit together or actually opposite of one another in our minds. Like other oxymorons, seriously funny, awfully pretty, jumbo shrimp, paid volunteers. But in the parable we just heard, Jesus calls on his followers to become as shrewd in doing good as others are in doing evil. According to Webster's Dictionary, the first definition of shrewd is keen-witted, clever, or sharp in practical matters. And the secondary definition, cunning, the one most of us think of, someone who uses their intellect or ability to take advantage of someone else or of a situation in an unethical way for selfish purposes. That would be a very strange Christian example. Jesus means the former and calls you and me to be as keen-witted, clever, and sharp in ethical ways, in loving ways, and for God's purposes in God's community, as others outside our community are as shrewd in unethical ways and for selfish ends. The manager in Jesus' story is a shrewd person in the worst sense of the word, cunning. He misuses his master's resources for his own selfish advantages. And when he's found out and told, he's been found out and told he's going to be dismissed, placed in charge of his master's wealth and operations to manage it for him and to make a profit, he's been skimming off the top, taking more for himself and cheating the master. And when he's caught, he doesn't say, oh, I didn't know, I made a mistake. Nor does he admit his sinfulness and repent, hoping for forgiveness. Instead, he ups the stakes and goes all out in the pattern he's already begun, calling in those business people who owe his master some debt. And he proposes to them to change their bills so that they owe the master less. In this way, he hopes to make friends with these people so that they might take care of him once he's dismissed. Very shrewd. And the people who are in debt to the manager, to the manager's master, were shrewd in the cunning sense as well. They saw a way to relieve their debt and increase their profitability, and not one of them hesitates to take advantage of the situation, much less refuse, as they become further entangled in the manager's shrewd dishonesty. Now remember when Jesus is telling stories to people to get a point across. He tells stories that the audience can easily relate to, like a lost sheep that the shepherd leaves the 99 to find, or the lost coin that the woman searches for persistently. Jesus didn't seem to need to explain this story, as though the listeners would have been no more surprised that someone is embezzling from a master or the company or the country than we are when we hear those kinds of stories in the news today. The real surprise in the story is the response of the owner, the response of the rich man, who commends the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Sure, he's been taken advantage of, but he understood the boldness it took to embark on a course of even greater dishonesty. And here's where Jesus makes his first point about shrewd Christianity. It's a shame, Jesus remarks, that those who are dishonest are more shrewd than those who are honest. If there were just more shrewd Christians who were just as sharp-witted and clever, then more people would be coming into the kingdom of God. More people would be joining in the mission and ministry of God's community. See, God created us with minds that can think and plan and reason, and we are called to use those God-given powers for good and in the best ways possible, and especially for God's purposes in our lives and in the life of the world. My best friend in seminary, Russell Kendrick, had a huge poster over his desk, and it was a big drawing of Jesus, a very elaborate picture of Jesus. And at the top of the poster, it said, "Jesus came to save you all." And at the bottom, it said, "Don't check your brains at the door." It really shouldn't be a stretch for the Christian community and individual Christians like us to welcome good thinking and the good kind of shrewdness. The number of colleges and universities started by the church is vast, and Christian orders and organizations have accomplished incredible achievements for the good of the world in clever and sharp-witted ways. But far too often, when it comes to conducting our affairs in church and the world, Christians can be sloppy and short-sighted and tie their hands behind their backs, or believe incorrectly that our personal and even worldly wisdom doesn't apply here. It does. God has given every one of us talents and gifts and experiences that may not quite fit the Christian traits of joyful, serious, committed, loving, but are so important for the mission and ministry of the church and for your and my individual relationship with God. And the second point that Jesus goes on to make is that as shrewd Christians, we have a particular and special calling and purpose for using our cleverness, and it can only be based on serving God and nothing or no one else. We are called to plant ourselves firmly on the bedrock of God and God's kingdom, rather than on the shifting sands of wealth of any kind, be it money, power, prestige, popularity, or anything or anyone else. We can't serve two masters. As shrewd Christians, we are called to live in the world while making God our primary focus, to make justice and peace, compassion and love with God as the very core of our lives, and to be shrewd in the sense of being clever, sharp-witted, and sharp about how we spend our time with God and about how we go about being Christians in the world. As God's community for the world, you and I must never lose sight of who it is we serve. And on God's call for us to use the gifts and abilities, the interests and the experiences we've been given to draw us and others into a closer communion with God, to build a community of love and goodness and grace and mercy, and to reach out to others so that they may come to know the life that we are coming to know with God and one another. So let me invite you to add being a shrewd Christian to the way that you would describe yourself in the world. We may not want to put it on t-shirts or on the website banner, since it would make most people wonder what exactly we're up to. But we need not check our brains or our gifts or our experiences at the door of the church or in living the Christian life, but instead to bring them along and to use them for God and God's purposes, for our lives, and for the life of the world. Amen.